The best way to describe Sam Mendes' 1917 is as a war epic in microcosm. It is technically about World War I and about the young British men who were sent to fight and likely die for their country. But its focus is much narrower. All of its action unfolds on a specific day, April 16th of its titular year, and mostly concerns a small handful of characters, all of whom are cogs in a much bigger, much more complicated geopolitical machine. It's driven by a real nuts-and-bolts premise. British intelligence receives intel that the German troops positioned on the Western Front have learned of a planned British attack and are ready to retaliate. If the surge isn't stopped, it could result in a massacre. The telephone lines have been cut, leaving the British battalion isolated from further communication, so two young infantrymen are tasked with personally delivering orders to stop the attack. One of the soldiers, Blake, played by Dean Charles Chapman, is chosen because he has personal stakes in the matter. His brother happens to be in the infantry that could be attacked. The other is a wide-eyed corporal named Schofield, played by George Mackay, who Blake enlists to tag along on foot. Almost instantly, as these young men sneak across the enemy lines and encounter one pitfall after another, it becomes increasingly clear that they could very well be embarking on a suicide mission. What I haven't mentioned yet is that 1917 is predicated on a rather arduous, though not entirely innovative, visual gimmick. The movie was photographed by legendary cinematographer Roger Deakins in a series of long, continuous takes, and they've been stitched together and the edits digitally erased so that the film resembles, save for a time jump about halfway through, a single unbroken take. It's meant to be immersive. As our characters creep through war zones, the camera crouches right behind or hovers over them, deep in the trenches, down into underground bunkers, through fields, around corners where enemy combatants lurk. There are times when this conceit works beautifully, particularly in the final scenes as the camera swirls around and sprints alongside Schofield, who's desperately trying to find the general that can order a stop to the attack. The sheer length of the shot underlines the serpentine layout of the trenches and the sheer number of troops, all of whom are unaware that their lives are in jeopardy on the front lines. But in its lesser moments, 1917 resembles one of those tactical war video games, and that extends to its structure. Each scene is like a new level that introduces yet another obstacle, a downed bridge that must be traversed like a balance beam, a roaring river that ends in a waterfall, enemies that don't know you're there and who you must sneak up on. The bursts of action are also interrupted by non-playable characters in the form of big-name actors. Colin Firth, Andrew Scott, Mark Strong, Benedict Cumberbatch, who each deliver important information or hand over a convenient item that goes right into our hero's inventory. For a film that's as much about its visual complications as anything else, the moments that have lingered in my mind are, ironically, the quiet, small ones. A French woman hiding out in the basement of an abandoned building, caring for a baby that isn't hers, a decimated and empty city square, a burning church illuminating the scene in an eerie orange glow, a tableau of soldiers sitting around in a trance, as one of their own sing a lullaby, a momentary respite from the violence that has consumed them. Mendes also shows us the rot and decay of the front lines, the infestation of rats, the bogs full of bloated corpses, the mud and the dust and the blood. I was reminded of the haunted voices in Peter Jackson's moving World War I documentary, They Shall Not Grow Old, speaking from beyond the grave about their military service. In that sense, the one-take tactic might not have been entirely necessary. It's a remarkable feat of choreography, to be sure. The film's biggest scenes require hundreds of extras, complicated camera movements, and a clockwork-like synchronicity between every department on the set. But that's also sort of the problem, because I was thinking more about the technical mastery than I was about the characters, or about the real implications of their charging headlong into violence. That may not be an issue for you. The film's recent batch of Oscar nominations suggests that it isn't for a lot of people. And besides, sometimes we go to the movies to be wowed, to be swallowed up by the screen and wonder to ourselves, how did they do that? 1917 certainly delivers on that promise. For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Nathan Weinbender.